to Matthew. I'm going to start in chapter 26, Matthew 26, and I'm going to start reading at verse 36 and read through the chapter. It says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee," which would be James and John, "and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." We're all very familiar with the Garden of Gethsemane. This scene or this story, this tells us the story of the time of Jesus right before he would be taken by soldiers and later crucified for us, for our sins. The word says that he was sorrowful and very heavy. I, like you, have heard this story and read this passage. They talk about this story in all the Gospels. But when I read it this time, something just stood out to me, something a little bit different. You see, the Lord came to the disciples several times and each time found them asleep, found them sleeping. And like the disciples, many of us as Christians and believers, we're in a slumber right now. We're asleep. We may not be in a full sleep like the world, but some of us are napping. We're not fully awake the way we need to be. And he asked them, watch. He asked them when he first came to them, he said, watch with me. None of us will ever be able to fully understand what our Lord and Savior went through that day. He was God in the flesh. So he went to the Lord God 3 times, asking him if there's any way that this can be done, because he knew the plan. He knew the redemption plan. He knew. He had already told his disciples, I'm going to die and I'm going to be raised 3 days later. So he knew about his death. He knew about everything that was happening. Most of us probably think that he was heavy because of death, because all of us fear death in the natural. That's a natural human concern. We will do almost anything to keep from dying. I work with very sick patients every day, and some of them are near death. And when our providers go to them and they talk to them about hospice care or end-of-life care, a lot of the family at the beginning just say no. Even though it may be the best thing for their loved one to live out the rest of their days in comfort, and those types of programs are not a death sentence, but they just provide the patient with the things that they need to live comfortably for the rest of their days. But out of selfishness and not wanting to lose their loved one, they say, no, I don't want to do that. Or sometimes the patients are adamantly against it because we all fear death. But I don't believe that's why Jesus was so heavy that day. It was more than him dying. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew he would be raised again. That heaviness came because he knew that walking that path, being on that cross and standing in for us meant holding the weight of all the sins of mankind, past, present, future. I can barely handle my own mistakes, my own issues, my own problems. I can't. But can you imagine carrying the burden of the world on you? So he asked the disciples, the people who were around him every single day, come watch with me. In addition to his death and carrying the weight of the sin of the world on him, he knew that he was going to be separated from God for a moment. For that moment that he carried the sin, the weight of the sin of the world on him, God would have to turn his back to him. He didn't want to feel that weight of sin, and even more so being separated from God. That's why he was so heavy, and that is why he was so sorrowful. He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I titled this message, The Watchman's Hour. If you've read in the scripture, you may or may not know that a watchman in biblical times, they had a responsibility in times of war or not. Most of the times their position was high on a high level above the city or on a tower or city wall. And they were charged with watching out. They were the ones who were trained to see danger or threat, both in and outside of the city from far away. And it was their responsibility to sound the alarm and to let everyone in the city know that danger is coming, peril is coming. And there were responsibilities when those watchmen didn't carry out those plans. Sometimes it led to their death. So the Lord is asking them, so that you can be on watch with me, I need you to pray. I need you to watch. Because he knew what was coming. He knew that even after his death, the disciples, what they were going to experience. He called out Peter specifically in this passage because he knew what Peter was about to experience. But in their human flesh, like many of us, they were heavy and they were tired. So they slept. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. I'm going to start reading at verse 11. It says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The watchman's hour is now. Right now. Look around you. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you know that we are living in the last days. In the garden, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was facing the most critical time in his life. And he, being the Savior of the world, being the Son of God, saw it important for us to watch and pray. He lived a life of prayer. And even with all of who he is, his flesh still didn't want to carry that burden, that weight that he was called to. We don't have the weight of dying for the sins of the world. And because of his sacrifice, we don't have to be separated from God unless we choose to be.
But this is the watchman's hour. And just like Jesus called the disciples in the garden, we're called now to be watchmen in this hour. We may not be guarding a tower or a city from danger, from war, but God tells us to guard our heart. Our pastor, he guards us as our shepherd. If you're a parent, you guard your children. You protect them in any and every way that you can. If you're, we are just watchmen of our own souls, over our families. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." The very first charge of a watchman is to stay awake. Stay awake and be alert. When we are awake and when we are alive to the Spirit, when we are dying to our flesh, we're sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because of what the Lord Jesus did on the cross for us, we have the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And it's only through the cross and through that sacrifice that we can overcome our flesh if our faith is properly placed in the cross and in his sacrifice. So you say, what does it mean to be spiritually awake? When you're alive to the Spirit and dead to your flesh and dead to the world, when the Holy Spirit that it lives in you corrects you, you listen. When he guides you this way, you don't go that way. When he teaches you, you take it in to learn it and apply it to your life. Like the word says, not just being a hearer, but being a doer of the word of God. When you are spiritually awake, you're not easily swayed by false doctrine because you've been in the Word of God. You don't just read it, you study it. You've spent dedicated time in prayer with Him. You have a relationship with the Lord. So even if you don't know exactly why something is wrong, you can tell when something is off. You're not easily swayed by society and what everyone around you thinks is correct, because you know and you stand on the word of God. You don't compromise your relationship with him for the sake of friends or family. You stand firm on the word of God because you're a watchman. And this is the hour that God has called us to be faithful to that calling. When we are spiritually awake, we don't feel comfortable living in sin. We don't have a life of complacency. And you may not be living in sin, but if you are standing in truth, you don't feel comfortable around others who are not living in that truth. It's a dangerous thing for a believer to be in a complacent, comfortable state because you don't have an urge or a sense of urgency to do more, to pray more, to spend more time with the Lord, to spend more time in his word, because you're comfortable. And as long as you make it in, even if it's by the skin of your teeth, you're okay with that. But not only do you suffer, but others around you who need the light that is in you suffer when we live in a place of complacency and comfort. When we live like the world that's around us, what need do they have to be saved? If they see you doing all the things that they're doing, what's the difference? If you're not set apart. The second thing that a watchman does, they guard against temptation. Jesus told the disciples, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." So when Jesus was in the garden, he told the disciples, "Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." Speaking about Judas, where our enemy is at hand, church. We just read the scripture. He's vigilant. He's about his business every single day, warring for your soul. His fate is determined, and he in turn is determined to have you and every person in this world join him in the lake of fire. So if we are not watchful and if we don't stay in prayer, we may join him in that eternity lake of fire. The word of God says that the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. He came to give us life, and that we might have that life more abundantly. Prayer. We're all familiar with Ephesians chapter 6 and all the whole armor of God. Pastor Lincoln has given a great message on that. I believe Sister Tierra has too, if you want to look them up in archives. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the armor. We know what that armor is. And part of that armor is prayer. In Ephesians 6:10-12, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Just like the disciples, if we don't watch and pray, we will not be prepared for what is now and what is coming. Because just like Jesus, we cannot stop what is or what is coming, because it is in the will of God. These things must be. But he's given us tools. He's given us what we need to equip ourselves to fight in the spiritual battle that we are in. Will you continue to sleep like the world, or will you wake up and continually watch and pray so that you can be prepared, so that you can be strengthened, so that you give space and opportunity for the Holy Spirit to do the work in you. First, when you place your faith in the cross, and then when you walk out what he's asked us to do, and remaining in a watchful state and in prayer. Watchmen also battle the flesh in prayer. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and 7, it says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye sober." Sober meaning sound mind and having self-control, and watch unto prayer. Pray without ceasing, the word tells us. Continue in prayer. Men ought always to pray. Countless scriptures in the word of God remind us of the importance of prayer. And back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Our flesh is very lazy. It is self-serving. And it wants to do what it wants to do when it wants to do it. Prayer is not something that our flesh wants to do. Studying God's word is not something that our flesh wants to do. Attending church is not something that our flesh wants to do. Things of God, things that further the kingdom, those are not things that our flesh wants to do. It's a continual war. with our spirit battling our flesh. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. What you feed is what will grow. So if you're feeding your spirit, it can overcome your flesh. But if you are continuing to feed your flesh with the things you consume, with the things you hear, with the things you see, with the places you go, with the activities that you participate in, that strong man will always win. But if you feed your spirit and you put time into prayer and you put time into the word and you come together like this, I draw strength from you. I don't know about you, but I draw strength from my brothers and sisters in Christ. I was just speaking to a sister this morning talking about fellowship with those that are of like mind. I draw strength from that because we are inundated and surrounded with darkness. So when I can be around my brother and my sister in Christ, that's a benefit for me. That helps me. That strengthens me. That's one reason why I love coming together like this as a community, as a body, as a church. Showing each other love, showing each other grace. I don't know all of your names, but I know you're my brother and my sister in Christ. So I pray for you. I don't know what you're going through, but I pray for you. And that's why it's so important that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, because see, we don't always know what to pray. But when we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit knows the perfect prayer. And so know that I pray for you. I pray for our pastors. I pray for this entire church body, everybody who walks through that door and watches online. If no one else is praying for you, I am praying for you. And I hope you're praying for me. Jesus fought in prayer, and by his example, we should learn. Even with the heavy weight that he was carrying in that time of prayer, and I believe it's in Luke where it speaks about how the angels came to minister to him as well. But that time of prayer gave him strength. Strength that he didn't have. Strength to carry out what ultimately saved all of us. Despite what his flesh wanted, he was able to put that aside and say, Lord, your will be done. And when we have a practice, a life of prayer, God gives us that strength too. There are things that we battle against every day that we don't want to do that God wants us to do. And it becomes a little bit easier to walk in God's will the closer your relationship is to him. The more you stay in his word, the more you stay in prayer, just like for Jesus, it becomes easier for us to walk out God's will when we watch and we pray. Watchmen must be found faithful in the hour of testing. In Luke chapter 21, verse 36, it says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. In Revelation 16, chapter 16, verse 15, it says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. One of the obvious reasons that we need to stay watchful and prayerful is because one of those things that must be is that our Lord and Savior will return. No man knows the hour or the day, but we do know that he's coming. And if you don't remain watchful and prayerful, will you make it? Or will you be left with the rest of the world that is asleep? Even now, we face trials. Again, we're not facing the same heaviness that Jesus faced. But we face trials each and every day. We're going through things. On our job, within our family, amongst our friends. Even with our walk with the Lord, we may be struggling or battling with things. And the Lord is telling us, I need you to wake up. I need you to watch. I need you to pray. Because my adversary, your adversary, the devil, is here. He is coming. He's not coming. He's here. And so we need to be faithful in prayer. Faithful in the hour of testing. Because like Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want to mention one other way that watchmen are used. I said that the world is sleeping. Spiritually, they are sleeping. But in the natural, when they are awake, they're watching the watchmen. They're watching us, those who profess the name of Jesus. Those who are called to go and tell the world and preach the gospel. Those who claim salvation, they're watching us. And most of them are watching to see us fail so they can feel comfortable in not accepting Jesus themselves. So, if you have claimed Jesus as your Savior, you are a watchman. This is the hour. Know that the world is watching you. You remember Daniel? He was a man of prayer. Daniel chapter 6 verse 10 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Just quickly, the story, you know it. He was in a place of leadership. People were jealous of him, no doubt, because he was a man of God. And so they went to the king and had him to sign this decree that no one is to pray to anyone else but the king for the next 30 days. This scripture tells us that Daniel knew what was signed, but he didn't allow it to deter him. He didn't allow his flesh to keep him from doing what he did in serving his God. Why? Because he spent time in prayer before this moment. He didn't wait till this moment to start praying. He had been praying. He had been watchful. So when this trial came upon him, he had the strength to do what God had called him to do. And just like because of Jesus's obedience, we now have redemption with the Father. Because of Daniel's obedience, the king ordered everybody to serve our God. This is the one true living God. Because when Daniel was placed in the lion's den for his acts and he came out unharmed, the king said, this must be the living God. Not only that, the people who ordered him to be put in there with the lion, not only them, but their entire families were killed. You see, the world is watching. Even now, like the world was watching Daniel then. They're watching us. God forbid you are not being a watchman that God has called you to be in this hour and someone lose their soul because you were not obedient to the will of God on your life. In closing, I thought about the cup that Jesus was asking, Lord, if this cup can be passed from me. We don't have that same cup, but there is a cup that God expects for us to receive. That cup for you may be dying to your flesh, you know, not doing the things that you want to do. It may be spending more time in prayer, spending more time studying the word of God, being more faithful in church attendance. I don't know what that cup is for you, but we're required to take the cup the same way that Jesus was required to take the cup. Within ourselves, we don't have the strength to do that. No more strength than the disciples had in that day. And this is why Jesus calls us to watch and to pray. Watchmen are called, we are called to stay spiritually awake, not just for ourselves, but for those in the world that are watching us. They're watching us. They see when you don't forgive. They see when you choose to stay in bed instead of coming to church. They see when you cut others off on the highway. They see when you're rude in the grocery store. They see all these things. And if they don't look at us and see Jesus, church, there's a problem. But the only way they're going to see him in us is if we are in him, if we are in his word, if we remain watchful, and if we remain in prayer. Amen. I'm going to pray. Lord, we just come to you right now, knowing what you have called us to, Lord God. You have called us to be watchmen in this hour, in this dark hour. We are the light, God. And we need you, Lord, to help us. Help us, oh God, to move past our flesh. Take the steps that we need, Lord, to spend time in your word. Make time, Father. We need to make time to spend more time studying your word. More time in prayer, God. More time being vigilant and watchful for our souls, for our families, for those unsaved around us, God. It's only through you and by the power of the Holy Spirit that we have the strength or the power to stand, God. So remind us each and every day of our need, just like Jesus told the disciples, to watch and pray, knowing that our flesh is weak, God. Help us, oh God, to lean into you, to lean into your word, to lean into prayer, and remain watchful, Lord. We need your help today, Father. We need you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we just pray that you will help us be mindful of our laziness, that when we want to sleep late, that you'll wake us up and you'll tell us to come and spend time with you, and we'll get up and go spend time with you, reading your word and praying. Help us to get up out of that easy chair, turn the TV off, and go and spend time with you, Lord Jesus, in prayer and in Bible study, knowing that this will bring us closer to you, that you're teaching us, and that we become more obedient, and that we can show people who is in us and who can be in them as well. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray, amen and amen. Thank you all for coming out this morning. Those of you who are in-house and those who are online, we are so glad that you're here with us. Hope you really enjoyed the sermon. I know I did. I have just a few announcements. If you haven't already given, we need your support. Please help us in spreading the word, the gospel, to get all over. Our second announcement is Tiffany Smith's funeral is August the 29th at 11 o'clock a.m. at Christ Unveil. Communion will be August the 31st. In both services. And we have a baptism September the 7th. If you need to know more about that, ask Pastor Lincoln, Ike, or Sister Lincoln. And that is all the announcements that I have. You are dismissed.